Camera, we got the action.
Going here back. We are. Another episode of Technical Knockout, the Hardcore Casual MMA Podcast. I'm your host, Hussein. With me, as always, my co-host, Jordan Patrick James. Today, we are talking about Joe Pyfer and Jack Hermanson and how much we got it wrong. Listen, sometimes, you know, you put out these prediction shows, you know, you put out the recaps, you gotta own up, you know.
You
we talk about the victories,
we gotta talk about the losses. You gotta eat a little bit of crow sometimes, and we definitely ate some there last night. But good
we
on
were
Jack
Hermanson. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, Jack Hermanson did good. He stayed in there. I mean, we kind of figured too. I think we didn't get a chance to divulge a little bit too much because we were, as you said, a little bit too cocky in our predictions in Joe Pyfer. But I think if we would have expanded on it, we would have kind of alluded to some of the paths to victories that Jack Hermanson had.
Yeah.
Key being staying in there, you know, testing that five round, you know, utilizing that five round fight to his advantage, staying in there and starting to really shine in those later rounds. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know if we expressed this on the preview pod, but my logic was if Pyfer wins, he's going to get it done early. You know, the more the fight goes on, the more it plays into Jack's favor. He has the 5-round experience. He fought Vittori for 5 rounds. He's trained 5 rounds. He fought Strickland for 5 rounds. Jacare. Pyfer hasn't had that high level 5-round experience yet, and you know, maybe it was something we kind of did not consider. And I thought the apex cage would play to his favor more. He was able to corner Hermanson a bit at certain points, but he wasn't able to find that finishing blow like he wanted. I think it's safe to say that he doesn't hit as hard as Francis Ngannou. You know, Ngannou would have knocked out Hermanson. But you know, that being said, great performance from Hermanson. Pyfer did look good for those first 2 rounds. You know, he was fighting his ass off. But at a certain point, you could tell that all he really had going for him was a crispy 1-2 and a mixed in lead hook there, here and there. And you're going to need more than that to beat the top dogs at middleweight. Although Hermanson may not be a top dog at middleweight, he's certainly a dog and, you know, a top 10 fighter for sure. Yeah, I mean, Hermanson fought a smart fight, you know.
Fourth and fifth. I think Pyfer has a lot of room to improve, and I think we will see him improve. He seems like the type that will, you know, take this loss and really, you know, really improve from this. So I look forward to seeing his next matchup.
He's 27.
Yeah, he's only 20. Yeah, he's got a lot of time. Well, who do you think he matches up now? Do you think that he tries to do a lateral one, or do you think it's kind of like a step down? Where do you think he lands?
I mean, you could give him the winner of the fight earlier in the card, Gregory Rodriguez, RoboCop. I think that's a good fight to make. I think that's an exciting fight. I think makes sense from a divisional standpoint. If not, maybe give him somebody like Bruno Ferreira or another one of these like exciting action matchups at middleweight. I think he's got a bright future in the sport. I do like Pyfer a lot. You know, he's well-rounded. I kind of would have liked to see him use that grappling more. I know Hermanson's very good on the ground, but, you know, we've seen him kind of get smushed from the top position before, and I think Pyfer might have been smart to explore that realm of the fight. But that being said, hindsight is 20/20, and Hermanson, you know, was pretty comprehensive everywhere. So, you know, just one of those classic veterans turning back a prospect performance. You can add it to your list, you know. There's a lot of fights that fall under that category. I mean, off the top of my head, Rafael Sunsau versus Victor Henry not too long ago. That was a great one. You know, there's so many. Gaethje versus Alvarez we talked about extensively in our fight look back, which is coming out soon. You guys stay tuned for that. You know, there's a lot of, you know, Stipe versus Ngannou, even though that was at the championship level. That was a veteran putting in one of those performances where it's like, oh, yeah, like, you guys forgot, like, you know, this is what we do. Yeah, so, I mean, good performance from Jack Hermanson. I wouldn't expect any less heart from him. The dude's got a ton of heart, and it showed. You know, we saw him show that off against Talos Latis earlier in his UFC career when he broke that rib and got a comeback TKO. one of my favorite comebacks from, you know, UFC history. So if you guys have never seen that fight, I definitely recommend it. You can see Jack just in immense pain between rounds and during the fight, and you know, just gutted out in the most one of the most gutsy performances we've seen. So, you know, I don't know why I questioned his will in there. We've seen him get crushed by big imposing guys that he can't take down, like Jared Cannonier, like Marvin Vettori. But yeah, Piper was not that guy, pal. Not that night. Maybe in a couple of years. But, you know, that being said, it is what it is. Good performance from Jack Hermanson. And if anybody's going to spoil my parlay, I'm happy it was Jack Hermanson because he's a fucking good guy. Going down the card, we got the Ige fight correct. Ige tends to do this. You know, if he fights somebody who's not ranked or seems to be below his skill level, he will smoke him. He smoked Feely. And, you know, Feely, one of those guys, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. I feel bad for him, you know. You can tell he's never really going to get to that top 10, top 5 championship level. But I think he'll be remembered as a very fun fighter who always, you know, gave it his all and had a very well-rounded game. Ige will probably end up in that same category, but with a little bit more merit to him because he does have these kind of crazy finishes over prospects and unranked guys. So, you know, big win there for 50K Ige. Easy knockout or performance of the night, rather. One-shot KO. Didn't need to follow it up. Ihor Potieria looked great. Used that volume that he had in that first fight, or that fight that he had earlier at the end of the last year against Bellotto, the one that he got finished in the second round. He used that same approach in this fight where he just kind of overloaded his opponent with volume and feints and stuff. But in this one, he didn't gas out. And, you know, he won a pretty clear decision. I had it 30-27, but, you know, one of the judges gave it 29-28. I think that's, you know, not that crazy. But the other guy, Robert Bryshek, pretty much got stopped in his tracks as soon as they got rolling. Pretoria was able to just overwhelm him there. And, you know, honestly, one of my favorite fighters now is Ihor Potiera, based off of not only how fun it is to say his name, but his fighting style is pretty fun. And I kind of like rooting for the guy, you know. You can tell he's really coming into his own here, comparative to how he looked in the early part of his UFC career when he was fighting guys like Carlos Ulberg and stuff. He's kind of more coming into his own, and I like his style. It's pretty exciting. So, good win there for Ihor. Brad Tavares got smoked by Gregory Rodriguez in a fight where it looked like Gregory Rodriguez was, you know, he was having a tough fight with Tavares. That first round was tough. Second round, he started to get a bit more success. And the third round, he was like, you know what? I'm tired of this fight. I think I'm going to end it. And he just went forward and kept cracking Tavares. And, you know, I really felt like he could have done that earlier in the fight if he just, you know, pulled the trigger a little bit earlier. You know, I understand the reluctance. Tavares is a legend and, you know, very defensively slick. But, you know, once he started getting that motor going, it was very hard to get him off. So great performance there. Nice knockout from Rodriguez. Is what I expected him to do. I'm happy I picked him by finish and not by first round like my initial inclination was, because it still paid out even though it drew out a little bit longer. Then Michael Johnson had another great performance, turning back a veteran or turning around a younger guy in Darius Flowers. I'm gonna go ahead and do some retcon. I did not know who Darius Flowers was before the fight. I got him confused with Daryl Horcher for some reason. Completely different guy. Daryl Horcher was that wrestler that came in on short notice to fight Khabib years ago. Darius Flowers is not a wrestler, clearly, because he could not stop a double leg worth shit. And, you know, he had, like, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu tatted on his chest. I feel like it was like, it's like that Muay Thai ready guy, you know? Like, did you ever hear that story, Jordan?
No.
So Eddie Bravo trained this guy for years. I forget the guy's name, Mike something. And the dude was nice with the 10th planet jiu-jitsu, you know, really good on the ground, you know, solid dude on jiu-jitsu. But, you know, this is back in the day in like 2006, 2007, where when you're walking out, they say like, oh, we have a jiu-jitsu fighter. So, you know, he didn't want people to, be afraid of the ground game like that. He wanted them to be welcoming him into that so he could use his jiu-jitsu. But what they did is they trained him in Muay Thai for like 3 or 6 months or something, or they got a Muay Thai coach, and the Muay Thai coach gassed his head up crazy and told him that he was Bangkok ready. And he comes out for his UFC fight with like full Muay Thai gear, with like the head wrap with the rope on it, and like the Thai biceps and shit. And the other guy, seeing this, is like freaking out and goes for a takedown and gets submitted in like 2 minutes or something. Like, so Michael Darius Flowers was not Bangkok ready, or not jiu-jitsu ready, I guess, because you know, he had that tattoo on his chest that said Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, and it looked like as soon as Michael Johnson, you know, touched the back of his leg, he fell backwards. So not a great grappler there from Darius Flowers, and veteran performance from Michael Johnson, where it looked like he was kind of getting a little scary in that third round. He got tagged, but was able to get that takedown and win the round back. So, you know, good performance there from Michael Johnson. You'd love to see him get a victory here in 2024. It's awesome. Adolfo Vieira smoked Armin Petrosian, another one that I ate crow on. You know, I think I might have underestimated the Apex cage here. I do it every week, it feels like. But, you know, I did hedge my bet of Petrosian by decision with Vieira by first round submission, because I figured if he was going to get it done, that's how it would go down. Yeah, Vieira just pushed him to the cage and took him down, and wasn't much longer after that. You know, Petrosian's a great defensive grappler, but it's hard to be a great defensive grappler against a world-class jiu-jitsu guy. You know, that is what it is. He's levels to the game. And then on the prelims, our girl Loma got it done in a pretty easy 29-28. Marcin Prakhniel got it done, which is another underdog spot that I had in my parlay. So that was cool. That was cool. Devin Clark sucks. Max Griffin robbed Jeremiah Wells. I thought Wells won that fight. He dropped him in the first round. He beat him up in the second round. Third round, you could even argue that Wells won, but Griffin did push him against the cage at the end of the third round. So I guess that was enough in some judges' scorecards to get him two rounds, but wasn't for
me. Not on these scorecards over here.
I'll tell you that much. You know, if it was up to me, I wouldn't count that in our record, but you know, we got to play the game how the game's played, and Jeremiah Wells unfortunately came up short, according to Adelaide Bird and Junichiro Camicho. But yeah, and then there was a couple of cool finishes early in the card. Bogdan Guskov, a.k.a. Evil Anthony Smith, got the victory over Zach Paoga, who's coming down from heavyweight to light heavyweight. Got smoked.
He do look like Evil Anthony Smith, doesn't he?
He does. He looks like Majin Anthony Smith. It's crazy. But
I thought it was him for a minute whenever I was watching the replays.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit. Yeah,
he caught it last moment. Yeah.
Yeah. But that guy Bogdan, he's really good for one round, and then he gets exhausted if he can't smoke you. But you know, front runner for sure. You know, we'll see who he matches up with in his next fight. But if he fights anybody who's a little bit tougher, a little bit more cardio heavy, I'm definitely betting against him. But yeah, I mean, he can keep doing this to these busters, you know. Then Haider Emil had a great knockout over Fernie Garcia. That one was really cool. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely go back and watch it. Just a lot of great body work and attritive damage that ended up leading to that second round TKO, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, second round. And then Daniel Marcos and Orichi Lang traded nut shots and eye pokes until the fight could not continue. Very strange way to start the night. And honestly, a very strange night of fights altogether, you know, if we're being completely honest here. There was a couple victories from the underdog spots. You had Marcin Prakhniel, you had you know, Jack Manson in the main card slot, of course. And then a couple of guys turned back some young guys, which we kind of expected, and you know, Dan Ige, Hermanson, maybe we didn't expect it so much, but it was cool to see. You know, Michael Johnson, Gregor Rodriguez got it done against Tavares. Not a bad night of fights overall. Definitely nothing to write home about, but you know, it is what it is. Not a great night for the TKO Nation, but it wasn't terrible. We could have done worse. Man, I think I went two and three.
Like, yeah, I think I went like 2-2, something like that.
Yeah, 2-2 for you, 2-3 for me. Not terrible.
And in hindsight, I probably should have not. I picked Brad Tavares with my heart, not with my head. So I mean, but that's the breaks, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I probably should have went with my heart on the Hermanson pick, but I bought the hype. It is what it is. But that being said, next week we are talking about UFC 298. Very excited to get into that
the
card.
Big and we're going
to
be baby.
Bringing in a special guest to do that pod with us. Bloodsport MMA, another MMA content creator who has a lot of really dope stuff coming out of Switzerland. So if you guys haven't heard of him, you should definitely check him out. And we'll be dropping that episode probably this week. I mean, maybe, you know, it has to be this week because we'll do it tomorrow. There you go. Boom. Today or tomorrow. Yeah. But yeah. All right. Thank you very much for listening, y'all. Like I said earlier, we do have that fight look back, Alvarez versus Gaethje, set to go. It's all ready. It's all, you know, there to be uploaded. I'm just waiting for the right time to do it because I don't want to overwhelm you with this fantastic content, you know. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening, y'all. And take it easy. Hopefully next week will be much better for us. I think it will be. I'm really excited to get into it. All right. Peace out, y'all.
All right.